Hey everyone, I'm Jaden,
And I'm Noah.
and we are the Super Gamer Bros, and this is the Super Gamer Bros podcast. We are just a couple of brothers, only two of us, who love playing games and talking about games, so that is what we do. Today, Noah, we are talking about Gotham Knights.
That is correct.
All right, I guess you had nothing else to say about that. I was waiting on you. So, well, let's talk about Gotham Knights. It came out.
I think last year.
So it was announced several years ago, the next game to be created by WB Games Montreal. Obviously kind of a I don't know if you would call it a subsidiary company because I'll be honest, I don't necessarily know what subsidiary means of, Warner
This is
Brothers,
funny.
obviously. Well, because it's like I don't know what you call those because you have, like a lot of game studios have that, like, Rockstar North, WB Games, WB Games Montreal. Like, I don't know if that's just like a branch or what it's called, but that's also, I guess, not important. WB Games Montreal, I'll be honest, I
It
don't
is
know
a
if they.
subsidiary. It said it was, the definition was a company that was controlled by a holding company.
All right, cool. We'll say I'm right and we'll move on. If you think I'm wrong, just like leave us a bad review and let us know that we're stupid because that's because I'm not going to do any research on it, but if you guys do and then tell us, I'll read that. Anyway, so WB Games Montreal. I don't know if it's the only game they made, but I would say probably their most famous game that they have made before Gotham Knights was Batman Arkham Origins. They were given the monumental task of creating a Batman Arkham game to fill in the gap between Batman Arkham City and Batman Arkham Knight, because if you know, an Arkham game came out every 2 years for 8 years. Asylum was 09, City was 11, and then Arkham Knight was going to take 4 years. It ended up taking 4 years, but it was going to take longer than two, and Warner Brothers thought that's too much of a gap, and so they made WB Games Montreal develop Arkham Origins, which came out in 2013. Arkham Origins, I would say, is typically everyone's least favorite Arkham game, but I like it. It is not a
Wow.
bad game at all. I think they did a good job. Why'd you say wow?
Yeah, maybe you're right that it is typically everyone's least favorite, but it is not my least favorite. My least favorite is Arkham Knight.
I actually do share that sentiment. If you go back and it's actually kind of funny if you go back and listen to our Batman Arkham Knight episode, because we have done an episode on every Arkham game. In that episode, I come to the realization that Arkham Knight is actually probably my least favorite Arkham game.
Yeah, I loved Arkham Origins. They took the style and assets from Arkham City and Arkham Asylum and made it feel unique to them. It did feel different, and I think that's what people didn't like about it. But to
I
me,
feel
the
like
problem with Arkham Knight was it was like Batmobile, the video game.
I get what you're saying. But anyway, after Arkham Origins, I mean, they have to have made another game. I doubt they were working on Gotham
Nope,
Knights for 9 years,
just those two.
but wow, that is impressive.
Well, there were a lot of rumors. They had a bunch of other games supposedly in development. Like at one point in time, it was rumored that they were working on a game set in the future where you played as Damian Wayne and Bruce was dead.
Oh, interesting. Well, that
Yes.
half of that is true.
There was Suicide Squad, there was Superman. A lot of those rumors flew around both WB Games Montreal and Rocksteady.
In the end, as we're talking about it, WB Games ended up working on and releasing Gotham Knights. I no, what do you think? Because I honestly don't know about the kind of overall reaction to Gotham Knights when it was announced.
I would say when it was announced, it was always controversial. There's a group of people who love it, and there's a group of people who absolutely hate it. To me, the group of people who absolutely hate it, their reasons are unfounded because the reason that they cite for not liking the game most of the time is that it's too different from the Arkham series. But for me, and I think for most everybody who enjoyed the game, the idea is that it's a completely different game. Just, the only thread that's the same throughout is the fact that it's Batman slash DC related. Other than that, you can't really tie the games together at all. And
Yeah,
they tried really hard to get that point across in the marketing, but people just did not get it.
I do agree with that. I think Gotham Knights had the very unfortunate backstory of one being the first Batman universe game, Bat Family game, to be released after Arkham Knight, and not only that, being developed by a studio that developed an Arkham game. So it really automatically could not avoid, had to deal with the unfortunate fate of being tied to one of the greatest superhero game series of all time. And as I said, while Noah and I do not agree with the popular opinion, Arkham Origins is considered by many to be the worst Arkham game. But even that, I feel like there's a bit of unfair judgment towards that because of the fact that it was just not made by Rocksteady. I think WB Games Montreal, when making Arkham Origins, always had that kind of bad start of just not being Rocksteady, and there's obviously nothing they can do with that. They're just, doing what they're told and making a game that I'm sure, the higher ups at Warner Brothers told them to make.
Yeah, I don't know
But
if you're
anyway.
looking at this, but as I look this up, I'm looking up the reception of Gotham Knights, and the critical reception is not great. And then
Not.
I'm looking up, is it successful in the sales? And all the posts on here are like, why did Gotham Knights fail? And it's all talking about Arkham.
Yeah.
It's all talking about Arkham. And I don't understand why people just can't separate
It's,
that
I mean,
in their heads.
it's honestly really hard to gauge Gotham Knights as being successful or not because of the fact that everyone compares it to Arkham. Like you said, those in how it did in sales, people are comparing it to its to the sales of the Arkham series. But again, it's not, that's again, it just has the unfortunate of being a Batman game and WB making a Batman game, Montreal making a Batman game, of being compared. And that's always going to affect it negatively. And I do think that's a shame because let's actually probably the longest we've ever gone without just straight up talking about the game itself, just talking about game studios and game
What's
politics.
controversial?
It is the game itself. Noah, you played it almost day one, if not straight up day one. I didn't
I
play it
played
for a
it day one.
while. Yeah, I didn't play it for a while because you wanted to play through it together, and I just never really had a good time to do it. And then you forced me to do it by making it a series on our YouTube channel. So we did actually play the entire game on our YouTube channel. You can watch it. Wink, wink, wink. So we did play it. I did play it. I did get the platinum in it. Noah, you also got the platinum in it. This is a very short list of games that we both have gotten the platinum in. So let's go ahead and get into it, Noah.
All right, so Jaden, the game is set, if you believe it, in Gotham City after the death of Bruce Wayne slash Batman, in case you didn't know that, and Police Commissioner James Gordon, which has
No.
resulted in a rise of crime and police corruption. Players assume the role of four of Batman's former proteges, aka the Bat Family: Dick Grayson, Nightwing, Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, Tim Drake Robin, and Jason Todd Red Hood, as they attempt to continue his legacy by protecting Gotham upon receiving a pre-recorded message from Batman prior to his death. I mean, the setup, fantastic.
Well, we're going to pause for a second before we talk about anything else. Bold, incredibly bold of WB Games Montreal to make, a Batman universe game. And how did they start it? By killing Batman. It's incredibly bold.
It's genius.
Just the idea of killing Batman is insane because he's Batman. And that is another thing that I feel like instantly started the game off on the wrong foot for a lot of people is they would say, how can you have a Batman game and kill Batman? To which my response would be, well, it's not a Batman game, but those people didn't care about that.
No, they don't understand, but so those of us who are DC fans and we have followed Batman and the Bat Family for a long time, This is really cool. I mean, I never thought that the Bat family specifically would get their chance in the spotlight. And if you're a fan of this channel, you know that I am a huge fan of Nightwing, and this is the closest I will ever get to a Nightwing game.
Both of those things are absolutely probably true. But I mean, I feel the same really about all of those characters.
That's, yeah, exactly. You
You
know,
know,
the fans of
Batgirl,
Batgirl, Red Hood, and Robin.
yeah, like I've always been a huge fan of Red Hood, his story. You know, this was a unique take on Red Hood because, you know, you could say, Nightwing, Batgirl, and Robin are all pretty unchanged in terms of their abilities, their backstory and stuff, but they actually changed Red Hood, and kind of, you know, the effects of the Lazarus Pit on his on him. They kind of changed all that a bit, you know, made it a bit different, which was very, very cool. I actually really like the direction they went with Red Hood and his character.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
So why don't you talk about the story?
All right, let's talk about the story. So, Batman is ambushed in the Batcave by Ra's al Ghul and is mortally wounded. With no way to win, Batman seals himself and Ra's in the Batcave and initiates the self-destruct protocol, killing them both. Batman's death triggers a Code Black contingency, which summons Nightwing, Batgirl, Red Hood, and Robin. As his final act, Batman bequeaths a backup base called the Belfry, located in the Union Station Clock Tower, as well as the files of all his investigations, telling his students that Gotham will need them more than ever once the criminal underworld notices Batman has gone missing. Determined to carry on Batman's will, the four heroes band together to form the Gotham Knights, with the assistance of Alfred Pennyworth following the funeral attended by Bruce's uncle, Jacob Kane. The Knights get the Belfry operational and pursue one of Batman's leads, a scientist named Kirk Langstrom. The Knights find Langstrom murdered, as well as a hard drive containing his secret research. When they infiltrate the GCPD morgue to recover Langstrom's DNA encryption key, they encounter Talia al Ghul, who incinerates Ra's body and warns the Knights the League of Shadows will make their move on Gotham soon. The Knights then receive a message from Harley Quinn, who has been investigating another lead for Batman while locked up in Blackgate Penitentiary. The Knights recover her intelligence and discover evidence of a centuries-long conspiracy where multiple violent criminals were released early from Blackgate after witnesses to their crimes were mysteriously murdered, with Langstrom being the latest victim. The Knights then confront the Penguin, suspecting he is involved with the conspiracy. The Penguin tells them of the existence of the Court of Owls, a secret society that supposedly rules Gotham from the shadows, and directs the Knights to investigate the Ultra Elite Powers Club. The Knights infiltrate the Powers Club, discovering the Court of Owls is real, and manage to escape with an old key. Realizing that Batman had been secretly investigating the court, the Knights search for all the information they can, but only manage to learn that the court is allegedly searching for the Fountain of Youth. The Knights use the key to access a secret mine underneath Gotham, where the court has been synthesizing a compound called Dionysium, a watered-down version of a Lazarus pit, which they use to create undead super soldiers called Talons. Talia reveals that the League has been observing the court and are preparing to destroy all of Gotham just to eliminate them, and she advises the Knights to defeat the court before the League can mobilize. The Knights infiltrate a masquerade party at the Orchard Hotel hosted by the court. While learning Penguin's mother, Constance Cobblepot, is a member, the Knights discover the identity of their leader, who holds the title Voice of the Court, and are shocked to find out it is Jacob Kane. Kane reveals that he knew Bruce was Batman and that he's also aware of the Knights' secret identities and warns them not to interfere with his plans. The Knights are then forced to flee when League assassins attack the masquerade, slaughtering many court members except for Kane, Constance, and those who evaded the attacks. The Knights continue to investigate the court, slowing down their plans to awaken an army of Talons to take over Gotham. Having gathered enough evidence to implicate Kane, the Knights enlist the aid of Renee Montoya, a trustworthy GCPD detective, revealing their true identities to her as a sign of trust. Montoya agrees to serve an arrest warrant and apprehend Kane as long as the Knights can remove him from his fortified headquarters at Kane Industries. The Knights breach the defenses and apprehend Kane, but he is assassinated by Talia before he can be taken into custody. Talia reveals she manipulated the Knights into dismantling the court for her and now plans to lead the League to purge Gotham of all corruption. The Knights follow Talia's trail to the ruins of Arkham Asylum, where they find that the League has appropriated Langstrom's research and Lazarus Pit water to create mutant man-bats. After dealing with the man-bats, the Knights follow the League into a network of tunnels underneath the Gotham Cemetery, where they find a Lazarus Pit under the ruins of the Batcave. Talia then reveals that she has stolen Bruce's body and revived him in the Lazarus Pit, using its powers to brainwash him into becoming the League's next leader. The Knights manage to free Bruce of his brainwashing with an emotional outreach and defeat Talia, forcing her to retreat. However, members of the court, led by a new voice of the court, arrive to claim the Lazarus Pit, prompting Bruce to sacrifice himself to destroy the pit by ramming the Batwing into it. In the aftermath, Talia and the League abandon Gotham, leaving only a few assassins to harass the Knights. The court goes into hiding and continues to plot in the shadows. To reassure the people of Gotham, while planning to expose Kane, the Knights make a public address declaring the city is under their protection.
And that's Woo! The story.
And that's the story. A lot happens in that story.
Yes.
Noah, what did you think of the story?
The story, to me, is pretty much exactly what you expect. You know, there's not a whole lot of surprises. I just thought it was okay. Like, it did its job for me.
Yeah, I agree. I would say the story is fine. It's not the best, obviously. It's not the worst either that I've seen. I feel like probably my biggest complaint is the fact that at the end they have Bruce brought back to life just to kill him again 15 minutes later. But like, oh, for good this time.
Yeah, he's a boss fight too.
He is, but I don't like that. I really did not like that choice, because the whole thing is, WB Games is like, hey, this is not Batman. This is not a Batman game. This is not Batman's game. This is about the Knights. And they obviously prove that by killing Batman in the first 5 minutes of the game. And I was like, okay, like, I get it. I'm cool with that. You know, you have the Knights, you have Alfred. I'm cool with Batman not being a part of this. That's fine. But then having him brought back to life and they fight him and they, oh, he's Batman's back because they cured him of his brainwashing and he's ready to be Batman again. Cool. So then just have him, you know, instantly sacrifice himself and die again. And they're like, yeah, it's for good this time.
So you're saying either bring him back or don't have a scene like that?
Yeah, basically, because another thing that, you know, with this game, it's not mentioned in the story, but it's a little side thing, is because I didn't put this anywhere else in the document. We'll talk about now. Emails. You can read emails that the characters all receive and send to each other. And one cool thing about this email, a lot of Easter eggs and references to other DC characters, because they get emails from other heroes like Superman and Wonder Woman and whatever. And Nightwing, like, it's emails from the Titans saying, like, hey, you know, we understand you're going through stuff. We'll take care of everything up here. You just let us know. And I think, like, Robin gets emails from, like, other hero friends. And I mean, they all do. But reading those emails, all of the Knights seems like they have other responsibilities. You know, like Nightwing with the Titans, or it might be Robin with the Titans and Nightwing. Yeah, no, Nightwing just has Bloodhaven. I think Robin is with the Titans. Red Hood has
Red
people
Hood,
he
the
was working
Outlaws.
With. Yeah, like, they don't, you know, explicitly say it's the Outlaws, but that's who I assume
But
it
that's
is.
who it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, Arsenal and...
Yeah, you're right, yeah. So I just don't know. I just don't know enough about Red Hood and the Outlaws to
yeah,
as
no,
compared to the others.
Their emails and their, like, backstories and friends of these characters, like you're saying, very, very good attention to detail. Like, these people
yeah.
really know about... They really did their research on these characters.
Yeah, and very cool. I absolutely loved reading through the emails. But honestly, like, the fact that it definitely seems like they all have these responsibilities, I was thinking to myself the entire game that, oh man, I like, maybe they're gonna bring Bruce back to life or something, because it seems like all these guys got responsibilities. They can't just stay in Gotham and protect Gotham. They've got other stuff to do. Because even there's, like, an email from, I think, Superman. It was Superman to Nightwing saying, like, hey, man, I know you're going through some stuff. Don't worry about Bloodhaven. I'll protect Bloodhaven while you're busy, you know, while you're dealing with this. So, like, straight up, during this game, Superman is protecting Bloodhaven, which is really cool. But It's also it gives you that sort of, well, the Knights can't just stay in Gotham forever. They have their own stuff they're doing. So then when Bruce did come back to life, you know, in that 15 minutes that he was alive, I thought, oh, okay, so Bruce is coming back to life. He's gonna be Batman again, and it's gonna be a whole, hey, thank you, Knights. You guys did it. You protected Gotham in my absence, but you guys have other responsibilities, and I am back now, so we're gonna, you know, I'll take care of Gotham. You guys go back to what you need to do. But then no, he dies 15 minutes later, and I guess based on the final cutscene, the Knights are all staying in Gotham, which is weird for all the other stuff they kind of had responsibilities doing. I don't know, maybe they'll take shifts or something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so,
Is
you
that your
know,
only gripe about the story?
I mean, I agree with what you said. There's absolutely nothing surprising. I mean, Jacob Kane being the voice of the court was the least surprising twist I've ever seen in anything I've ever, any media I've ever ingested. Saw that coming like 6 miles away. But no, other than that, everything was fine, you know. I liked the changes they made to characters like Talia. She, I feel like, was very different from how I've seen her before. I feel like she was a lot more independent and like against her father, because it's, you know, revealed when she manipulated the Knights that she also manipulated her father into attacking Bruce, which led to both of their deaths. Like she said, she had been planning this coup, this takeover of the League for centuries, which I don't know. I feel like every time we've seen Talia before, she's always kind of like wanted her father to be gone, but
But never done anything about it.
yeah, never actually does anything about it. So it was cool to see her actually taking the helm of the League and actually doing all that stuff. I thought that was a very fun a change on the kind of Talia Ra's relationship.
That is a really good point. Another thing they changed, I loved the fact that they brought in Kirk Langstrom as a deceased person. You know, it was his case you were investigating in like the first half of the game. And
I mean, not even the first half, it's the very first thing you do.
well, yeah, but I mean, you talk about it for a really long time. But
Yes.
for those of you who don't know, Kirk Langstrom is a famous name in the Batman kind of mythos because he is one of Batman's many rogues villains. You know, he is a scientist who messed with genetic stuff and turns himself into Man Bat, of course. So it was really interesting to see, like, you're like, as soon as you hear Kirk Langstrom and you're investigating, you're like, oh, he's gonna be Man Bat. And then you find him and it's like, oh, he's just dead.
Yeah, how the game turned Man Bat into a Man Bat, like there's several now, was certainly interesting. And, you know, yeah, it's always tough, I think, when you're making a comic book adaptation of any kind, of doing things your own way and changing things, because, you know, if people don't like it, boy, are you in trouble. And even with Gotham Knights, I feel like at best, most of their changes got a lukewarm reception. But I always appreciate the effort of trying to change some things whenever you make a comic book
100%.
adaptation. Like, even if it doesn't work out and I don't like it, I'll say I don't like it. But also, you know, I will always respect the effort to do so. Anyway, that's the story. That's our opinion of the story. Excuse me. Noah, why don't you start us off on the gameplay?
All right, the gameplay. So, the Gotham Knights features, of course, the Knights. Four playable characters, as we've said, Batgirl, Red Hood, Robin, and Nightwing. You can change characters at any point in the game, and XP, gear, and any progression is shared across every character, which is phenomenal. A lot of other games inflate their playtime and make that grind by having each character, you know, their own unique level system, their own unique gear system, so you have to put 20 hours into each character to get them max level. Not in this game. Just like me, you can play through the whole game as Nightwing, max everything out, get, you know, a bunch of high level gear, give him the max level and all the ability points, and then at the end of the game, switch to somebody else and they still have a bunch of high level gear and you can equip that. They have their max level already and they have all the skill points that you can just spend then. I really like this because to me it's inclusive. You know, you can switch it. You can really switch at any point. It doesn't matter who you're playing as. And it promotes trying all of the characters, even at the end of the game.
Noah, I 1,000,000% agree with you. It's honestly probably one of my biggest complaints about RPGs. JRPGs especially do this, where, in JRPGs, typically, in JRPGs, you typically have, like, four, five. I mean, most JRPGs, they limit your party size to four. But then there's up to over 10. Like, there's easily, usually double that in terms of the amount of actual characters you can have in your party. But only the characters who are actually in the party level up. So if you want to play as those other characters, you have to, do a lot of grinding to make sure that everyone's on good levels and stuff. I don't like that because, as Noah said, it just increases your playtime having to grind. And there are several games I have played, several JRPGs, where I have just straight up refused to do that and played as the same characters the whole time, which I'm sure angers anyone, like developers, anyone who worked on that game or likes those games, like, oh my god, I can't believe you only use these four characters. Like, oh, this other character is so good, why didn't you use him? And, my argument is, well, when I unlocked that character, he was five levels under every person in my party. Why would I do that? Why would I weaken my party to add this other character? So that's, a common complaint I have with JRPGs, and that is something that I am very, very happy that Gotham Knights avoided. I absolutely love. They share XP, they share skill points, everything, the gear, everything. So if you, as Noah said, play the whole game as one character, and now that you're free roaming after beating it, you're like, hey, you know what? I want to play as Batgirl. I want to give Batgirl a try. We'll be the same level. We'll have gear that is close to, if not the exact same level, and you'll have all those skill points, so you're good to go. As if you've been playing as Batgirl the whole time, and that is very much appreciated.
Jaden, I did want to point this out. Gotham Knights has two things up on the Arkham series as a whole that, nobody really talks about or gives it the credit it deserves. Playing through the Arkham series, there were two things that I kept asking for in the next game. Okay. Starting at Arkham City. Arkham City was the first one in the Arkham series that had Bat family members that you could play as in combat challenges and whatnot. So for me, every subsequent game in the Arkham series, I was like, I want two things. I want A, to be able to play as the other members of the Bat family in free roam, and B, co-op. I want to be able to play a Batman game with my friends. Arkham
What friends?
never, the
Boom,
Arkham
got him. All
series
right.
never accomplished either of those goals.
That's not true. Arkham Origins had multiplayer.
I said co-op.
Oh, you could play as Batman and Robin against a bunch of people.
Oh, God. I actually did like that multiplayer, but it is not co-op.
Check, check, and mate.
No,
Move
a
on.
cooperative story. But yeah, that's like two things that Gotham Knights has that no game in the Arkham series came close to, and it does not get the credit it deserves for that, and I think it should. That's all.
All
Do you want
right.
to talk about the combat or do you want me to?
Noah, why don't I let you talk about the combat?
Oh, okay. Gotham Knights primarily focuses on melee combat as your chosen hero, as you use your chosen hero to take down the criminals rampaging the streets of Gotham. You have a press. Jesus, this is a weird paragraph.
Oh, I did word this weirdly.
You're okay.
Specifically waiting for you to have to read it.
Right. So in this game, you do have a standard attack, which is square on PlayStation X on Xbox. And then you have a heavy attack, which is hold it, a range attack, which is triangle Y. And they all, the mechanics work the same way with every hero. However, they have different, oh, what would you call it? Like choreographed moves for their combos and hits. And they all fight with a different style, you
Well,
might say.
there's a different feeling to them, different style.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good word.
And then,
I did just want to say, real quick, to comment on what I said here as you were kind of struggling. It's as I wrote here, you have a press standard attack and hold heavy attack. So games that do combat typically have it in two ways. Typically, it'll be square is light and triangle is heavy. Two separate buttons. Or if you press square, it's a light attack. If you hold it, it's a heavy attack. That's what the press standard and hold heavy
Yeah,
means.
I get you. A lot of games do
So
it like that.
yeah, that's just how this game works. And the range is the same. You have just a standard range. If you press triangle Y, or if you hold it, there is kind of a heavy ranged attack as well. Noah,
Correct.
you can continue.
Each character also has a different ranged weapon to increase, further increase the fact that they are different and they feel different. Nightwing has darts that he shoots out of his wrist. Batgirl throws batarangs. Red Hood shoots his pistols, obviously, and then Robin uses a slingshot and throws like little explosive pellets.
Yeah.
As I was saying, each hero has a different play style, such as Red Hood being more of a heavy, slow attacker with a larger focus on range, and Nightwing having many abilities to assist allies in combat. Robin has a lot of stealth-focused abilities, for example. So each character has a lot of things that are meant to make them feel unique. And I definitely believe that they accomplish that goal because when you try all the characters, you will have your favorites, like in your favorite styles. For me, I played Nightwing the whole game, but I actually really liked all the styles of everybody else. The only one I didn't love was Red Hood to me because it was all he was all pistol whips and drop kicks, which, that's fine. He's a big dude. They make him the brawler in this game. It's a take. But for me, it was less martial arts than it should have been, more like street fighting.
I actually completely agree with that assessment you have. Red Hood is also my least favorite character. His melee combos, melee attacks, leave a lot to be desired. They've like feel very kind of clunky and weird to use. Yeah, just especially compared to the other three, not as good. He certainly is meant to be used more for ranged, but I mean
100%.
me personally was not really that into the ranged aspect of combat. I used it when I had to, but part of the range combat is you can hit triangle to use a like a kind of a quick range attack, but you can also straight up just hold, I think it's the L2 buttons to like aim and R2 to fire the ranged weapons, like with Red Hood obviously his pistols, but all of them can do that with their ranged weapons. And I mean basically never used that because I just it's like a it's a Gotham Knights game. I want to punch people and stuff,
Yeah,
so
I get that. I
I
actually
did
used
not
it a
use the
lot.
range. Yeah, I did not use the
Only
range to its
as
full
Red Hood.
capacity. Yeah, only as Red Hood did I do that, but I felt kind of stupid doing it. Like it was weird. And even playing through it with you, there were times when, because we would switch characters every time we played, pretty much. And whenever you were playing as Red Hood, like all you would do is shoot people, which, I mean, it's effective. It is very effective shooting people
It does a
as
lot
Red
more
Hood.
damage than his melee attacks.
Yeah, it's like rubber bullets, so it doesn't kill them. Yeah, he is definitely made to be played from that range. But honestly, for me, whenever you would play as Red Hood, I was very annoyed by that because I would just be running around trying to hit people, and it's like as I'm running to punch this guy, oh, he just died. Noah shot him. Oh, okay, let me go get this guy. Oh,
Yeah,
okay, Noah shot
I
him too.
thought that
Okay,
was so
let me get. Oh,
funny.
this guy. Oh no, Noah shot him too. It's yeah. It's honestly incredible. It was incredibly annoying to play with.
You'd be like, I got this guy, and I'm just like, bam. No, he's dead. Don't worry about him.
Yeah. Yeah,
Oh.
it was legitimately like kind of annoying to play with because again, being this a superhero game, I want to beat people up. I don't just want to shoot them. Anyway, but yeah.
I could kind of attribute that to being like, it's hard with Red Hood, who Red Hood is as a character, to like be true to him, but also make it more melee, less range. But I don't, it could have just been like he could have just had a little bit better melee combos and they do a little bit more damage, and then you kind of make it like a balance between that and shooting. I think it would have been better if you were talking about the quick ranged attack ability if you just tap triangle. I think it would be better if they promoted some sort of combo system off of switching between punching and like square and triangle, so you go back and forth. So I
I
thought
think
there
you're
was
correct.
definitely potential there.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Oh, let's talk about the knighthood abilities. So knighthood is a special ability unlocked for each knight after completing a series of challenges. It's an easy series of challenges. It's not hard to do. The special ability is different for each character and highlights the different skill sets of each character as well. To let you know what they are, Batgirl summons a drone that flies alongside you and shoots enemies, and also can you can upgrade it to where it explodes and affects several enemies. Nightwing creates this kind of, the best word I could describe it, like dome, but it's just, you know, an area that any enemy standing in the air, area takes damage over time. Any ally standing in the area heals over time. Red Hood has, it's called, I think it's called Spirit Shot, but basically it's almost like, what is that in Red Dead? Deadeye mode, right? Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, where it kind of like slows down and you target multiple enemies at once and then he shoots them all at once. And Robin creates a basically a decoy clone that enemies attack and can it can like blow up and deal damage to them. You know, classic Robin move.
Woo. These gotta go in with the next thing.
Yeah, we'll talk about the next thing and then talk about them as a whole. So momentum abilities is the next thing. So momentum abilities are special attacks for each character. There's two attacks for each face button, a press attack and a hold attack, very common theme in the combat of this game. Each attack uses momentum. Momentum, basically is your super meter. You unlock more bars as you progress through the story, up to four. Momentum is built up by attacking and perfect dodging enemies. I guess talk about dodging. We'll talk about that just for a second. Actually, I'll finish this. So a press attack uses one bar of momentum. A hold attack uses two. Also, kind of each face button is themed in its attacks. Like the X attack is usually a block breaker. I think square is an area of effect damage attack. The triangle, obviously pairing with your ranged, is typically a ranged attack and does like piercing can hit multiple targets. And then there's a fear inducing. Fear is basically a status effect on enemies. We'll kind of talk about statuses in a bit, probably. Where when enemies like when you build up their fear meter, they you know run away and leave combat. It's just another way to kind of deal with a bunch of enemies at once. You can make them afraid of you and they'll run away. Very Batman thing to do. Yeah, real quick, because I should actually probably talk. I can't believe I didn't write this in the document, but
I know,
talking
I was
about
going to talk about
combat,
that too.
dodging. The way I see superhero games nowadays, there are kind of two ways to go about it. There's the Arkham way or the Spider-Man way. The Arkham way, because you know it was first seen in Arkham, is the counter system where you know you counter enemy attacks and then you could combo off of those counters. The Spider-Man method, because Spider-Man was the first game I saw do this, is it's basically the same concept, but instead of countering, obviously, because Spider-Man is not a physical brawler like Batman, he dodges the attacks, and then you can counterattack off of a dodge. And that is the system that Gotham Knights uses. There is no counter. You dodge enemy attacks, and after you dodge those attacks, you can fight back. And then if you time your dodges at the perfect time, you have the perfect dodge, where time kind of slows down for a second as you dodge, and then you combo off of that perfect dodge. And typically, you have like an immediate counter attack that does more damage if you attack right after a perfect dodge.
True. The absence of a block or counter system in this game also probably rubbed a lot of fans of the Arkham series the wrong way. And I was also one of those people who was like, "That's weird. Like, why didn't they just have a counter system in this game?"
Yeah.
But after having played it multiple times, it's the same thing. It really feels the exact same. The only difference is that your character doesn't actually block and stop their attack, they just move out of the way. I don't care either way. To me, it's like I said, pretty much the exact same system. There's a warning when an enemy is about to attack, you press a button right before, and then you get back on the attack grind. In hindsight, I love how the dodge system works in this game, because you can just, with most of the characters, you can just mash dodge and get out of there. Nightwing has a special little ability where you can hold the dodge button and he just starts doing like 10 flips in a row and you can hold a direction and he just flips away. I love it. It's hilarious, true to the characters. Makes a lot of sense to me. But it does take away that more like close martial arts feeling of it. So I get why some people could complain about that, but to me it's pretty much the same thing.
No, let me tell you, I'm gonna complain about it. I also, I mean, I prefer, I guess not prefer, I well, I guess I prefer the counter system, because to me, I think I equate the counter system with like a parry system, and I do like a good parry system. The problem to me with Gotham Knights having the dodge mechanic, especially compared to Spider-Man, is the combat in Gotham Knights is very slow. Especially compared to Spider-Man. Spider-Man has very fast-paced combat. And the dodge to me slows it down more because dodging is like creating space and stuff. And while I feel like Arkham certainly also was a slower combat game, the fact that you countered still kept you close to the enemies. And especially with, comparing Gotham Knights to Arkham, and Batman Arkham, the Arkham series, despite the fact that you are playing in an open world game, basically every combat encounter takes place in an enclosed area, and enemies always just try to get close to you because most of them do have, what's the word? Don't have weapons, or, like ranged weapons, so they just come in and attack you from close up. So it all feels very contained in this small area, so the slowness doesn't really come across as much. And also, Batman does have ridiculous reach with his attacks. Like, he'll jump across half a football field to attack a guy if you press the square button. In Gotham Knights, they don't do that, and the combat areas are much more open, and enemies are typically much more spread out. So, for example, if you could knock down an enemy, he's unconscious, and there's one enemy left, and he's a 6-minute walk away. Like, you have to run to him, and it really kind of breaks up combat because they don't have that ridiculous reach that Batman did to like make up for the slowness, and they don't have the incredible speed and distance closing abilities that Spider-Man did to make that work well in Spider-Man. Because in Spider-Man, you can just, I think at the
That's
press
a
of a
good
button,
point. That could
shoot
have
a
been
web and launch
accomplished
yourself at an
by
enemy.
a press of a button and grapple towards an enemy or something like that. If they
Yeah,
took that mechanic, that problem would have been solved.
I just feel like the arenas are too open. And enemies too spread out for how slow the combat is. And the dodge ability to me, I feel like is a part of that as well. Of it, I feel like kind of slows combat down a bit as well.
I did want to talk about the momentum abilities before we moved on.
Yes, of course.
The momentum abilities are really cool. I mean, they are the special abilities for every character, like Jaden said, and they feel unique for everybody, even though they accomplish pretty much the same thing.
Oh, also,
The
I realized.
animations. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I just want to realize I messed up. Robin's knighthood ability is not the clone. That's just a momentum ability. His knighthood ability is releasing a bunch of little
Oh, the
nanobots that
drones,
attack
yeah.
enemies and do elemental damage. That's my mistake. Noah, carry on.
Yeah, so these abilities are unique to every character in their animations and what they do, and these are like what you're unlocking as you go through the game. You know, they're one of the more fun things that you
Yeah, you have to
unlock and
complete.
progress for each
Yeah,
character.
you have
You
to
do have to
complete
complete
challenges
missions.
to unlock them.
Yep. I like them, like you know, when you have all the momentum abilities, your character is super powerful. And as I played through the game with Jaden, it was my, I think, like third or fourth time playing through. And I never completed those missions to get my momentum abilities back for Nightwing. So I just played without them. And it was a very, very different game then. And I felt like the absence of all those special abilities was noticeable.
Yeah, I agree with you. I absolutely love the momentum abilities. I don't like, however, these are the one things, the momentum and the knighthood, the only thing that is not shared by progression through each character.
Yes.
So to unlock these abilities, you have to complete those challenges with every single character. And
It's
that is
grindy.
where the, yeah, it is very grindy, some of them especially. And that is where the game does kind of lose me a bit in terms of its playing as different characters, because I had that exact experience where just due to how I was playing the game, I ended up with Nightwing's momentum abilities first. And switching to another character and losing those momentum abilities sucked. I did not like it. And I think I unlocked every momentum ability except one as Batgirl. I was just missing one for her, but then I had them all as Nightwing. And so I only wanted to play as those two characters, and Robin and Red Hood really fell to the wayside because the momentum abilities are so good and really help balance out the combat as it gets harder in the late game, to the point where, yeah, I was just playing as those two characters because they had all those abilities and they are very, very important.
Absolutely. Why don't you talk about skill points slash upgrades?
Skill points slash upgrades. The game has a max of 30 levels. If you go into New Game Plus, that cap ups to 40. As you le wow. As you level, you get skills to
Yeah.
upgrade different aspects of the knights. Each character has different focuses for their skill trees. Also, some like side tasks, side missions you do unlock skill points as well. So I guess talk about the skills for each character without going into like specifics for each one, because there's, you know, a lot. They do have different abilities for each character that they focus on, which I very much again enjoy, as you're not just copy pasting the same character. As we mentioned kind of earlier, Robin gets a lot of stealth skills. For example, like large size enemies, Robin gets an ability that he can stealth take down and those large enemies, and he's the
And
only one
he's
that
the
can.
only character.
And let me tell you, it's very useful to stealth take down those big enemies because they can be real annoying to fight. Just as well, in combat, we also did not talk about, there is a grab mechanic. When an enemy has low enough health, or if you sneak up on them, you can grab them. And then typically you press a button and do like a takedown on them. And Red Hood is the only one who gets an upgrade to grab large enemies. Again, very useful. So Nightwing gets a lot of support abilities because he is like seen as the leader, so he gets a lot of abilities to support and like boost damage of his allies. Yeah, so there are differences between their skill trees. They're all very, very different, really. I would say there's not really any similarities at all. Yeah, like they all have unique abilities that I think are useful for all of them. I think they're very good.
Absolutely. I'll just throw this in here. There is a training area to practice combat skills.
Yeah, a lot of games we've talked about before have training areas. We've never talked about them before, and it just popped in my head, and I thought, well, I guess we can mention it.
Yeah,
I
pretty
don't know, it's
standard
there.
thing. Yeah, it's there.
Yeah, also, we'll talk very quick because I also did not put this in the document. I'm not doing great today. Stealth. There is a, I'm going to say, minor stealth aspect to Gotham Knights. I don't know, stealth is very weird. I would say the game was certainly
This is
not
one of the
built with
areas
stealth
that
in mind.
people don't, you know, this is like what brings people a lot of controversy when talking about this game, because there's not really stealth. There are not predator encounters like Arkham, you know, where you go through a room and it's stealthy. You can use stealth to take out, you know, as Jaden said, you can like take out the stronger enemies in an encounter, but more often than not, that encounter will devolve into just an open combat because,
Yeah, I mean,
in
there
some
is no.
cases, even if you still take down everybody, it initiates combat after that.
Yeah, there is no. It is very difficult, but possible. Very difficult to take out every single enemy in an area. Part of the reason is areas are not built with stealth in mind like they were in the Arkham series. You know, when you're in a room with a bunch of enemies, there's maybe places you can grapple up that are higher, but there aren't, you know, like gargoyles to perch on and stuff like that. There are some, like, kind of, I guess you could
In the
call them perches,
story,
but.
there are some encounters that are specifically stealth-based, you know, that you can go through stealthily. You never have to.
Yeah.
And,
It is very much an optional mechanic.
yeah, but there's very few instances where you can go through the whole thing stealthy.
Yeah, and I guess that's really my only complaint about the stealth is the fact that if the game had no stealth in it at all, I would be fine. But the fact that you did put stealth in it, I feel like if you're gonna do it, yeah, do it a little better than that.
Yeah, I 100% agree that
Is yeah.
stealth is where this game is lacking.
Yeah, like that's my opinion on it. Like
And then to base an entire character skill tree on stealth, but it's not like, you know, to me, it's like you have to think about it more like those abilities are for taking out the heavy characters without having to fight them.
Yeah, because in most encounters with enemy placements and stuff, you will get maybe three stealth takedowns before you have to take out the rest of the enemies. And this is, you know, enemy groups of no less than like seven, usually closer to nine or ten.
Yeah, 10.
But yeah. Stealth, whatever. Speaking of big enemies, Noah,
Woo.
there is a wide
Yeah, a wide what?
I don't know, there's a
Petite.
wide Conceit. I don't know. I was typing this off the
Caveat,
phone.
what is
No, it's definitely not caveat. There's a
this?
wide, I'm gonna say range of enemies.
Category.
No, that's not it. There's a wide what's that word? Like there's a lot of different types. Variety. I'm gonna say that's what catted is meant to be. Wide variety of enemies from close to ranged combat and mini bosses. All enemy types come in three tiers as well. Normal, whatever the middle one is that I'm just calling better, and champion that have more health, armor, and abilities. So basically, you have your basic enemy types. You have mini bosses, which we'll talk about. We will talk about enemy factions later, but just to say that they exist, there are enemy factions. Each faction has its own type of mini boss. Each. And also, there are several different types of normal enemies as well. And then each type of enemy, I guess to add even more variety, has a normal kind of least armored whatever type, and then a mid-range type, and then the champion type, which has a bunch of armor, is able to block a lot of your attacks. So you have to do block breakers, has a lot more health, does more damage, and has maybe some additional abilities that the lesser tiers do not have. Noah, what do you think of the kind of approach to enemies in Gotham Knights?
I love the enemies. To me, there was enough different types of enemies to make it feel fresh, and that is mostly helped out by the factions, which we'll get to. Because they do feel unique. Like the grunts of each faction feel very unique, and the bosses, the mini bosses, do too. If
All
I
right.
had to complain about anything, I would say that the game is about 20 hours in story and extras for platinum and whatnot, a little bit more. But by the end of the game, the variety, like the factions that were in the game since the beginning, specifically, I'll just say the first one that's introduced is the Freaks, that like Joker, Harley Quinn gang type faction that's always in these games, those kind of enemies, they'll sprinkle in new ones throughout the game, but once you've encountered all of them, that's when there are not really like new enemies, and it just stays that way for that faction. And that's not even really a complaint, because to me, like Jaden and I've always said, repetitive combat and gameplay is not bad as long as it's fun. And I've played through this game 4 times, and I'd play through it again. It's fun. It's a good time.
So I like the enemies in theory. In practice, I'm afraid that Gotham Knights also suffers from, I'm gonna call it Spider-Man syndrome, because Spider-Man did it first, where as the game goes on and on, they keep introducing more types of enemies in the tiers of the better and the champion enemies that are just harder and more difficult to deal with, to the point where it gets excessive. I think comparing it to, just because I've played it more recently, Spider-Man Miles Morales, is I find it very annoying when they keep introducing new enemy types like this that are just more and more annoying to deal with. Because as I said, with the kind of better and champion enemies, they can block your attacks. You have to worry about block breaking, and then you typically get a combo, and then boom, they're back to blocking your attacks. You have to break their block again.
Yeah,
And
that
then
part
on
is
top of
annoying, but
that, you
that's what
have
gives the
all of
combat
these.
any semblance of difficulty.
I mean, no, I think the difficulty of the combat is there without that, by just having the different enemy types you have to deal with. Like, I think, because let's, again, no, it might annoy you to compare it, but I think that's what the Arkham series does, of they introduce, I mean, in the Ark, like in Arkham City, let's go with, there's maybe five different types of enemies, and even that really equates to more just the weapons they hold, which you can disarm those enemies, and then they're just regular enemies until they pick up a weapon again. But then you have, like in Spider-Man and in Gotham Knights, they just keep adding more, and it's just more and more you have to deal with, on top of having an enemy encounter where you're fighting 10 enemies at once. It just gets very annoying to me, and I legitimately do not enjoy it. Like, for example, you have the Memento abilities, which are very good, deal a lot of damage. But then later enemies can block the momentum abilities, like the champion enemies can. And when they block them, they straight up do no damage. And it's just annoying to have to deal with that all the time. And again, take that one enemy times three, because there's three champions in this encounter, times six other regular enemies you have to deal with. It's just annoying. I legitimately do not care for that.
Yeah, I'll give you that in when it gets to like the hardest it can possibly be. I'm completely with you. And an excellent example of that is the DLC that they released. You know, the four player co-op thing that was you go through rooms of basically wave survival.
Yep.
And it just feels like a grind because not only are those characters super strong, but they don't take a lot of damage from your hits, so you have to hit them. You have to fight one of them for like a minute straight before they go down. And that just
Yep.
feels so grindy. So I
Yeah,
definitely
and
understand what you're saying.
yeah, I absolutely hate that. I hated it in Spider-Man and I hate it here.
You got to
It's
find the
just too
balance.
much. Yeah,
Keep
and
it fun.
I think, like, if you look at games like Arkham, that Arkham did it well of, there's not really a lot of enemy types. The weapons, and even, you know, all the different weapons, it's very simplified, and most of them, for example, if you look at, say, a shield guy in Arkham, you do one button press, or I guess technically two, boom, guy doesn't have a shield anymore, he's a regular enemy. A guy with a gun, just hit him three times, he drops the gun. You know, a guy with a stun
Well, I
baton,
was
jump
thinking,
over and hit him from behind. He drops the stun baton.
you
He's
the
regular.
shield
Like,
guys, you stun them and jump on them.
oh,
Like
yeah.
it's simple, quick things to deal with those enemies, but you just do it in a different way. If they did
Yeah,
something
it's,
like that, that would have
yeah,
been
I'm saying
better.
that's what Arkham did that Gotham Knights and Spider-Man didn't, is those enemies in Arkham, those special enemies, it's one, maybe two button presses, boom, that enemy is done. It's, they're, you know, they either drop their weapon and they're a normal enemy, or they're at least taken out of combat for a second. But in these, in Spider-Man Gotham Knights, they are permanently the way they are until you knock them down, and it just is increasingly annoying as you also have all of these other enemies to deal with.
Absolutely.
All right, Noah, tell us about traversal.
So, Jaden, Gotham Knights is a completely open world game letting you freely explore the city of Gotham. There are, we should all be familiar with the layout of Gotham at this point, but there are three large islands and one smaller island, each featuring several districts. Not going to list them all because there's a lot and it all has pretty much the same thing going on. You know, it's gritty Gotham. It's just skyscrapers, cities. There is some differences, like old Gotham has a lot of church-like structures. It's got Arkham Asylum, that type of stuff. There are some different areas with like landmarks. That's really what differentiates them, like where Wayne Towers is or the Kane Building or Elliott Memorial, these kind of landmark buildings that are famous in Batman lore are, to me, what was used to kind of separate the idea of different areas of Gotham. But they do kind of feel very similar. The knights, every knight can grapple their way across the rooftops. They can all jump, parkour, flip off of buildings, and whatnot. What is ATB?
All-terrain bat cycle.
Oh, okay. So, I guess right here. So, yeah, every character can grapple. They run around, they can jump off of buildings and, do the grapple thing where you press a button and it flings you forward. Great. You know, great momentum, great movement abilities here because you can just get around by grappling if you want to. And you can also use the ATB or the all-terrain bat cycles. Woo, for short, to get around. Rocksteady, if you're listening, take notes. If you put a vehicle in your game, it should be just a vehicle. It should do nothing else but accomplish the fact that you are driving from point A to point B and make it fun. The bat cycle does just that. With the bat cycle in this game, you can drive anywhere, and I mean anywhere. It's all terrain. It will go over cars. It'll go over barricades. It'll go over enemies. It's really, really useful. You can go through alleys, stairways, you know, you really feel like you can go anywhere in Gotham with this Batcycle. And that is what I wanted the Batmobile to be. My
Yeah, I
only
also.
complaint about the Batcycle is they did not use more of it in the story sections. Like, I can only really think of one or two sections where you had a really cinematic sequence where you're on the Batcycle and either chasing somebody or running away from the police at the beginning.
Yeah,
And
it's I mean, it's basically two.
yeah,
There's
right.
basically
And
two instances.
I would have
And
loved a lot more of those.
I agree with you on that. I think using the Batcycle more in kind of the story missions would have been fun because it is. So I will give extreme props to WB Games Montreal because they designed their world, their open world map, around the Batcycle. There is, you know, you can go underground into the subways on your Batcycle and then go back up out of that. You have like arrows on the ground that, you know, lead you to your objective, and they take you the most direct route, which will take you through alleys, over ramps, down into the subway, back up, through these small little gaps in buildings that, you know, obviously a, you know, Batmobile or car would not be able to get through. They did a very, very good job of that. And I would say, as anyone, if you are ever going to make an open world game and you are going to have a like standard vehicle that people are driving around in, design your map around using that vehicle so you can use that vehicle to get everywhere because it makes it just more useful to use. You know, I mean, there are open world games I've played where I would never use the vehicles because I felt like they just it was more fun to just not use them. I think you should, yeah, just, you know, design your map around the vehicle because that's what WB Games Montreal did. It worked so well. It was incredible, made the Batcycles incredibly fun to use. At mad props, they did a great job.
Yeah, I do want to say this about the Batcycle real quick. It has an attack function. You can use your range attack while on the Batcycle. I don't think that's ever used in the game. I don't think there's many like chase sequences where you're chasing after
I mean, I don't think there's
another
any.
vehicle or anything like that. Yeah, I don't think there's
I mean,
any, if not
you
even
said
one.
many. You said many. I don't think there's any.
There might be one.
I don't think so, man. I really don't.
I can't remember, but yeah, it
Anyway.
seems to me like maybe something that was cut content
Yeah, potentially.
would have been cool.
It would have, yeah. Anyway, now we're gonna talk about heroic travel. So along with unlocking the knighthood abilities when you complete that series of challenges, you also unlock a specific form of travel for each of the knights. Nightwing has his trapeze glider thing, basically gives him the ability of flight. Batgirl, typical Batgirl being the lamest, gets she could just use her cape to glide.
That is not how I read it.
Red Hood gets magic steps. I forget what it's called, but basically it's remnants from his time in the Lazarus Pit. He can use magic to kind of push himself up off of air, just walk in the air. And Robin gets the Slideways, which he uses the Justice League Watchtower to teleport himself.
I
Very
think
slow to
that
use, but
is the
very cool.
lamest one.
I think it's just too slow because you basically get 8 seconds to move your cursor literally anywhere, and he will teleport there. You can move it up, you can move it down, and you can move it, you know, forward, back. And you can, I think it's like you hold button to use it and let go of button to actually teleport. And if you don't let go of the button, then it's just a timer of 8 seconds. It's just too slow, I think.
It
I
is
feel
much
like,
too slow.
yeah, that's my only issue with it. I think the idea is cool, and when I was actually using it, I was like, okay, like this isn't bad, you know, being able to literally move this cursor wherever you want. There is no limit to where you can move it. It's very useful to get up. But yeah, just that 8 second timer is a bit too long, and the cursor moves too slow. For even if you don't take up the full 8 seconds to, I think, move at a good speed, it's just too slow.
No, you end up teleporting not that far away, and to use it at, like, to get from point A to point B, it's just a tedious process.
It is very
The
tedious to
best
use.
one is by far Nightwings, who can fly from.
Unfortunately, I have to agree with Noah on this one.
Yeah, I do want to say that Nightwing in this game can fly from one side of the map to the other without touching the ground. I never asked for that, but I'm here for it. Really cool. I
Well,
loved
see.
playing as Nightwing and just I would use the Batcycle and ramp off of the bridges. jump off, like launch off of the cycle, pull out the trapeze glider, and fly to my destination.
See, this is where kind of we're talking about why I think Batgirl is the lamest is one, hers is the only one that you can't go up. All the other guys
Yeah.
can go up. Hers cannot because it's just using her cape to glide. There is, and again, this is one of those things that I feel like was kind of a weird choice by WB Games Montreal because they don't want the Batman Arkham comparisons. But I mean, this is basically a worse version of gliding in Batman Arkham because she also does have like the dive bomb and pull back up to gain some speed and altitude thing that is in the Batman Arkham series. But it is like half the speed. It is so slow compared to Arkham that it is just not as fun to use. And because it is in Arkham and is what I feel like a very obvious copycat of that travel system in Arkham, it's impossible to not compare it to Arkham. Like there are definitely things, like instances in this game as I am playing through, and I'm just thinking to myself, you know, this isn't Arkham. Don't compare it to Arkham. You know, it's different. It's its own thing. You know, it's not meant to be a continuation of Arkham. It's not meant to be part of the Arkham series. It has nothing to do with it. Don't compare the
Literally
two.
nothing.
Literally nothing. But then when you have something like this that is very clearly a lesser version of something in Arkham, it's very hard to not compare it to Arkham sometimes because I'm like, well,
Yes.
you know, the gliding in Arkham is better. And
I will say this
oh.
is Jaden's opinion. I'm going to give my opinion now. I think the worst one here is Robin's because it is so slow, you can't move far enough away from where you initially teleported, so you don't feel like you moved at all. And it takes almost 10 seconds. Insane. Disgustingly slow. Batgirl, I like her stuff because Batgirl to me is the character who is the only one who is reminiscent of Batman. You know, she has Batarang, she has the glider. And I too thought the glider was that, you know, the cape glider was bad until I actually used it, playing as Batgirl for a while in the episodes with Jaden. And how I basically tested everybody's movement was I was like, can you get across Gotham Bay using their movement ability? And it's difficult, but you can do it with Batgirl. You can't really do it with Robin. I mean, you can, it just takes, you know, 20, 30 minutes, but all the other people can do it and do it pretty fast. The dive ability, it works if you have the height and the space. And that's the problem with it, is like when you're in the city or in basically in between these buildings or in any kind of indoors locations, that ability is not in tighter spaces, not necessarily indoors. The glide ability, it feels too clunky. But to me, I did not feel like, oh, this is just like Arkham, but worse. I felt like it was pretty much the exact same.
Gotcha.
But that's just me.
Now we're going to move on to the additional gameplay mechanics. Co-op
So. Oh.
gameplay. Noah, tell us about co-op gameplay.
Yep. I kind of mentioned it earlier, but co-op gameplay is one of the biggest, what would you call it?
Selling points.
Yeah, selling points of this game, that you can play online with a friend through this entire game, the entirety of the game. At any time, a second player can drop in or drop out of the host game. And can play as any combination of knights. Everything in the game except for story progression is shared, which is not true. Story progression is shared between the two players. And the
Hold on,
players
hold on,
can
hold on, hold
go,
on, hold on. So, like,
yes.
when you were playing through story with me, that was counting as progression for you?
Yeah, well, what happens is you go back into, so like, for instance, our playthrough on the channel, we played in Jaden's game because I had already got the platinum. So when I go back to my game as my bare bones Nightwing, it's like, hey, you already did all these missions with a friend. Do you want to skip or do it again? It asks
Okay.
you. Yeah.
Okay, I see. I feel
What you
like
do have to do again
okay.
is the ones that are like interrogate a member of this, you know, like those ones that are kind of like in between mission challenges.
Oh,
But then as
gotcha.
soon as you do that, it registers like, oh, but you already did the mission after this. Do you want to skip that one? So you can skip all the way to the end of the game.
Okay. I honestly couldn't remember, and I just couldn't
Yeah, that's fair.
Anytime I'm not sure about something on the document, I always just think to myself, no, I'll fix it on the episode if it's wrong.
That's
Yeah,
funny.
okay. I did think, I feel like you had mentioned that before, but I could not remember. But yeah, okay, so everything, straight up everything is shared between the characters. Good to know.
Yep,
Players.
really cool. And this game has untethered co-op, which means that you can go anywhere and do anything without being forced to stay close together, as long as it's not story missions, or going back to the Belfry. What that means is that Jade and I could literally be on opposite sides of Gotham itself doing two different crimes at the same time.
Which we did that several times.
Yes, we did.
And you could also progress through missions like that. Like as Noah said, when you're in the free roam, oh, do all these interrogations. You can straight up be at two different crimes interrogating two different people at the same time, and both of them will count towards the total of people you need to interrogate. I think I will say hands down, no competition when it comes to cooperative gameplay, especially in today's online world. Gotham Knights does it better than anyone else.
Yes, should be the shining example going forward. I mean,
Yes,
how
this
many
is
times
the gold
have we
standard.
complained about co-op progression?
Yeah,
You
like
know,
everything is
like if I
shared.
join somebody else's game and I go back to my game and it's I have to do all that again, that's a horrible feeling.
Absolutely. Everything is shared. And even the story progression thing, even though I couldn't remember it, is again just another testament to that. My biggest complaint about any game like that, that has co-op. I think Far Cry is a huge example because that is a game I've done co-op several times before. Where, I was playing through Far Cry 5 with a friend of mine, and we were playing in my game, and any story progression, say like trophy, he wouldn't get because you have to be the host to get it, and any benefits for getting through the story, he wouldn't get. In Far Cry 5, to unlock additional primary weapon slots to carry more primary weapons, you have to beat like the bosses of the game. But he wouldn't get those weapon slots because he didn't beat them. So he had to, because he was so sick of only having two primary weapons while I was over here rocking four, he like w was so sick of that, he went and actually beat a boss on his own just to get a third weapon. And it's very stupid that he has to do that. Like, I think that's very annoying. So the fact that you don't have to do that in Gotham Knights, everything is shared between the two players, perfect. I have absolutely no complaints about the way cooperative works in this game.
No complaints. I mean, Untethered, I never even asked for that. I don't really care about game sets that are like, oh, you can't go, 500 meters away from your cooperative person, because, I get that. Like, it's a co-op game we want to play together. But the fact that you can do that makes it really nice for, like Jaden said, those kind of instances where it's like, oh, we can cut the time of this challenge in half by interrogating. Like, I'll go interrogate a freak and you go interrogate a mobster.
Yes,
And it's cool.
it is cool.
So, Jaden, there's also the gear system slash crafting. Why don't you talk about it?
Cool. So the favorite RPG element of the Super Gamer Bros. Returns. We literally just talked about this in our last episode with Injustice 2. Big fans of this system we are. So off the bat, I think Gotham Knights starts off right with only three pieces of gear. The suit is all one piece of gear. You don't have to do the pants, the chest, the mask, it's not all separate. It is one piece of gear, your melee weapon, and your ranged weapon. And the gear, like the characters, has levels. This suit is level 5, and this suit is level 10, and my ranged weapon is level, 16, whatever. And they provide bonuses to your stats, because you do have stats like health, damage, defense, stuff like that, and potential, benefits such as elemental damage, because elemental damage is a part of this game. You have, fire, ice, stun is like an elemental thing. Fear, maybe there might be acid. I think there is. No, there's poison. Poison is one. The gear also has cosmetic differences. Each suit has three options to change the mask, symbol, gloves, and boots. They can also be customized with shaders and styles. We actually talked about this in our Injustice 2 episode. I actually like the gear system in Gotham Knights better than most games I've done the gear system in. For one, the stat boosts and level of the gear, when you get to those higher levels, Like if you have two pieces of gear that are level, 25, whatever, and oh, this gear has slightly better stat boost than the other, it's honestly negligible. So you can really more focus on just the cosmetic aspect if you want to, and you're not going to experience such a huge gap in gameplay. Obviously, the elemental damage is different. That adds a different factor to the gameplay as well. But again, overall, I would say it's negligible. Like, I enjoyed it when it was there, but when it wasn't, I just didn't really notice.
Exactly.
And I think Gotham Knights is one of the best in terms of the cosmetics aspect of the gear. One of the best games. Because being able to change the masks, like those four different aspects of your suit, mask, symbol, gloves, boots, between three options is very cool, allows you to get just a little deeper customization. Also, the shaders, I love shaders. Changing the colors of your characters is always very fun. Absolutely love that. And, oh, the styles is cool because this is something that Noah and I talked about with Injustice. Well, a lot of games that have gear, they come in different styles, and your styles is typically hard to match, which you don't have to worry about here because the suit is all one piece anyway. But having gear look like another piece of gear usually costs something extra in games. Like in Injustice, you have to spend tokens to make the gear look like another piece of gear. And this, it's just called styles, and there's a bunch, and you can just use them. And it, every piece of gear will look slightly diff. Every suit will look slightly different. You have like the Beyond style that gives it a more Batman Beyond look. You have the Privateer style, gives them a little piratey look. The like Shinobi style, kind of a more ninja look. A lot of cool
The
different
Talon.
styles. The Talon style, which Noah was a big fan of. A lot of cool different styles. You cannot use styles and shaders at the same time, which is, whatever. But I do think the normal look of each suit is good enough that I personally never used styles. But I did just appreciate that it was there. I get it. Because if you do want, if you're kind of trying to go for stat boost and you don't like the style of the suit that has the best stats, you can then make it a different style. My only complaint about style and shaders is how you unlock them is very, very confusing to me. From what I can tell, you have to craft, you get crafting stuff and you can craft suits and your like weapons. Also, I will prop the game. With the exception of the highest level item, which is called Nth Metal, every single crafting component in that game, you get so much of that I never ran out, and I don't think there was ever a single instance where I did not have enough to craft something. The gear does have rankings as well. I did mention that. There's common, epic, rare, legendary, heroic, all that stuff. You need Nth Metal to craft legendary. And I did have to grind for that a bit. That was an annoyance. But for the most part, every other material never had to grind once, always just got it, always had it. So mad props to the game for that one.
Yeah, every
Because
time
that
you
would have been very
finish
annoying.
missions, you can craft or you already have a new set of gear you can equip. So you're never wanting for better gear. And that's really the thing. You never have to grind for it. You never really have to worry about it. And you're right. This is one of the best gear systems I've ever used because it is not overly tedious. You're right. The fact that you can do the styles and customize it makes it even better.
My only complaint, I don't know how to unlock them. From what I can tell, you're supposed to craft gear with the style slash shader to unlock that style slash shader for use on other pieces of gear. But I crafted gear with a certain style many times and still did not have those styles unlocked. And also, the gear that you're like the recipes you get to craft gear is RNG. So there are some shaders and styles that I never saw pop up once.
Yeah, that
So
is the only negative, really.
yeah, like I could have done more research into that. Maybe there is some sort of method or something that I'm unaware of. But that's probably my only complaint, because there are some really cool shaders like that pay tribute to like other DC heroes and villains.
Yeah, really, really cool.
Like there's like I think an Aquaman one and a
Tribute
Deathstroke one.
Slade.
Yeah, that I never got and never used because those just never popped up in gear that I unlocked to craft. And as far as I could tell, that's the only way you could get it. But yeah, it's good. Also, kind of going with the gear, you have the mod chips. These are they attach to different gear, different level, different better gear has more slots to attach more or less mod chips. They give you additional stat bonuses and also elemental bonuses for weapons and stuff like that. Noah thinks these are dumb. You never used them.
Yeah, I do think these are dumb, and here's why. Just like God of War and those other like gear systems that we talk about on this, this channel, this podcast that we hate. I will look at these mechanics and If you have something like mod chips in your game, the impacts have to be huge and noticeable. And when I open it up and I look at it and it says, apply this mod for 2% elemental damage, no, that's not enough. You know, it has to be like a very huge difference for me to even bother with that kind of system. I did have, you know, I played this with, I played Gotham Knights with Kyle, with my other friends, and with you. And Kyle, used the mods a lot. He said he liked them and he felt like he noticed them. And, you know, I just never think they're that impactful. Like, if they weren't in the game at all, I don't think anybody would notice.
The gear, the mod chips, I agree with you that they were not noticeable. I use them because the gear in this game also has, I don't know what it's called in this game, but it's equivalent to the light level in Destiny, where the gear does have a level like, oh, this is a level 30 piece of, this is a level 30 suit. But also, it has like its power level, which is like a number, you know, like, oh, this suit has a power level of, you know, 360. And then a mod chip would add, oh, this mod chip adds 250 to that number, so it's even higher. So it really boosts that light level aspect of the gear. But again, it's not really noticeable in
Well,
terms of
you get
actual
better gear all the
gameplay.
time, also.
Yeah, you do. But yeah, just having that like bigger number there, as far as in my experience, it did not really affect anything in terms of gameplay. It just made me feel nice because I had such big numbers.
Right. So that's the gear
Anyway,
system.
that is the gear system.
One of the better ones. Factions.
Factions.
Jada, there are five factions of criminals in this game. There are the mob, you know, your basic mobsters. There are the freaks. Like I said, those are your like Joker type gang, the punk type enemies on the lower end of the spectrum. Regulators are Mr. Freeze's faction. These are guys who will have cryo guns and stuff like that.
Well, some of them are. I guess you didn't notice maybe,
I
but
don't
actually,
know.
just I. So the Regulators were their own faction that used kind of technologically advanced weapons, and then some of them, which straight up like had there's a separate menu for them called Mr. Freeze Allied Regulators, who are the ones that
Oh, I
allied
did
with
not
Master
get that
Freeze.
at all. I thought they were
And
all related to Mr. Freeze.
nope. Some were just Regulators. Some were allied to Mr. Freeze. The ones allied to Mr. Freeze did have Freeze weapons.
Interesting. Yeah, I did not catch that. There's also the Court of Owls. You know, one of the main enemies of the game. Their factions include members wearing masks, like owl masks, and then talons, of course. Different types of talons, but anyway, there's also the League of Assassins, the final faction, and led by Talia al Ghul, of course, these kind of ninjas, basically. And the Court of Owls and the League of Assassins show up late game. I'd say you spend a large majority of the game fighting the first three. I thought the pacing was well done, how long they waited to introduce the next factions. And I like them all. Like I said, I really feel like they give a lot of unique attributes to even the grunts of these factions to make them feel different. You know, the Court of Owls have a lot of enemies, the talons that are, they'll dodge your attacks and you have to use a specific range attack to knock them down and then you can attack them. The mob have this mini boss enemy called the Godmother. And she's infamous in this game for being just one of the funny enemies to fight. I think they were an interesting addition. The regulators, I can't remember what theirs are called, but they are like large dudes in hockey mask looking things. And
Well, they have two,
do
because
they?
the yeah they have the Drone Masters. That's a mini boss.
Oh, really? I did not know
Yeah,
that they
and
counted
those
as mini
guys,
bosses.
they do. And I forget what those bit like. I know exactly who you're talking about. I forget what they are called as well. I think they're called Shockers because they have like a big shock glove.
Yep, that's a good one. But yeah, I like the factions. You know, they have different crimes which we're about to get into, and I don't know, I thought the variety of enemies in each faction was good enough, very well done. I was not desiring more enemy types.
Yes, I was desiring less, but you know, that's neither here nor there. Hey, Noah, crimes. Part of patrolling Gotham City is stopping crimes whenever they pop up. These random crimes differ depending on the factions and can range from rescuing citizens to defending cops or whatever. There's small little crimes that pop up. They appear as like a, it's like a diamond, right? Or no,
Like a
it's like a
triangle.
triangle. It's a triangle. Just on your map, kind of proximity based. When you're close, it'll pop up. Then you can go deal with it. Pretty sure. I mean, it'll take you less than 5 minutes to stop a crime. It's a very
Yeah.
short little thing. Stopping these crimes and defeating the enemies also gives you clues that are used to seek out premeditated crimes. Noah, before we move on to premeditated crimes, did you have any comments on crimes?
No, they're together, kinda.
All right, premeditated crimes. These are more involved and lengthy crimes. They can be found on the map. Kind of proximity as well. If you get close to them, they will kind of pop up as a GCPD call. So someone's like calling in this crime, or the locations can be revealed if you find enough clues the previous night. So you can basically get up to, if you're going through doing crimes and stuff, up to 12 levels of clues, and each level kind of reveals more premeditated crimes. I think there's a max of 8 or 9 premeditated crimes in a night. If you find all 12 clues, then all of them are revealed. All like 12 levels of clues, all of them are revealed, or number gets smaller and smaller with the less clues you find. These crimes have a very large range from protecting witnesses from waves of enemies, stopping robberies, taking down enemy bases, hostage crises, organ trafficking. There's a lot of crime in Gotham. A lot of crime.
Yes. Here is something I wanted to mention. First of all, the crime system, I love it. I think both the, excuse me, the mini crimes and the premeditated crimes are both fun. There's a lot of unique objectives and how you go about completing them. And they have a lot to do with the different factions. And you feel like when you do the mini crimes, you're getting clues and you're accomplishing something and you're learning about more premeditated crimes. Yeah, I mean, I think this is just a really nice way to handle this kind of like in between main mission, side mission type of gameplay without making it grindy. Just to me, it was very well done. And I actually wanted to mention this here because we did not mention this earlier. This Gotham City, unlike any of the Arkham games, is populated. There are citizens and
Oh, okay,
people.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I will say, I guess to give credit to the Arkham series, they at least did have reasons why there aren't people
I know
around.
you love that, but to me, it's like Arkham was Gotham City. It has no citizens. It just has criminals and Batman. This game is you're saving citizens, and
That
there's
is
just
correct.
crimes
No, I
going
give
on
you that. I
all
give
over
you
the
that.
place. Yeah.
You are correct. You are correct. You are correct in that regard. Anyway, yeah, I agree with you. I think the crimes are fun. I think it's a very, again, the fact that you're like going out on nightly patrols and finding these crimes and stuff, I think it is very, it's very good at giving you that feeling of actually being a hero patrolling
It's
Gotham City,
immersive, yeah.
stopping crimes. It is very immersive, yes. Noah, talk about the villain, Case Files.
Yes, so villain case files are basically side missions focusing on three different villains in Gotham City: Mr. Freeze, Harley Quinn, and Clayface. They involve you solving crimes in the open world, and then you return to the Belfry and start a closed mission to progress their story and eventually take him down. I love how these missions are handled. That, like I just said, the in-between parts are really fun where you're getting clues and figuring out what's going on next with them. And the actual missions with the villains are, the best in the game. The only problem is that there's not more of them. There are three villains that you take down in Gotham City, super villains, that is, and that's insane. To me, I was like, in the Arkham series, they have a bunch of side missions, albeit they're very, very short, where you will take down at least, five, maybe, of Batman's rogues. And there's just a lot to be desired in the villains in this game. But the ones that they do have, I would not change a single thing about how they were handled.
Yeah, I agree completely with what you said, Noah. I do think they are a bit, they're short. I wish they were kind of longer. Like I was surprised as we were playing through of, oh, that's it. We're done. We're done with Mr. Freeze. Oh, we're done with Harley. Okay, I guess that's it. I do like the closed mission aspect of it. Also, Yeah, the villains themselves are really good. The Clayface side missions are the only times where you actually use the Bat Cycle as part of the mission, and these kind of closed, kind of race-like encounters. Very fun, very enjoyable. Again, as we mentioned earlier, wish they did that more. But yeah, I mean, I thought these were good. I just wish there was more to them.
Yeah, and speaking of the villains themselves, I thought they were all handled very well. Mr. Freeze is probably the my least favorite, but it was a
Yeah.
different take on him. He was like in a
Yeah.
mech at one point, like a spider mech thing.
Yeah, very
Never
weird.
seen Mr. Freeze like that. It was
Very
really
weird.
interesting. And then we talked about Harley Quinn.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite interpretations of Harley I've seen. It was very different. She was very weird, performed very well. Very cool. I absolutely loved her actual Harley Quinn design. I could not get enough of that. I thought her outfit and look was very, very cool.
Absolutely. And then Clayface, I liked his whole storyline too, because I think he's a very underrated character and he's been getting a lot more attention in the comics recently,
Yeah,
like
it's a
most of
cool one.
Batman's villains.
Yes, it's cool. It was a cool. Let's talk about time trials. You race around Gotham City with either the Bat Cycle. There's I think like seven different Bat Cycle ones, or heroic abilities. I did one of the heroic ability ones. It was fine. It was a Batgirl one. I did it very early. But they're not required for anything, so I did not do them. The Bat Cycle ones. It's a trophy, but they're enjoyable. Again, the Bat Cycle is very fun, and the races are a great way to showcase. You know, the environment being built around the Bat Cycle because it again has you kind of going all over in these little like side paths that again only a Bat Cycle could get through.
Yes, like you, I'll say I didn't really like the heroic ability ones, specifically because I found them to be clunky. It would be kind of hard to go through the route that they wanted you to take. But I will say that they were different based on the character you were using because they have different movement abilities, so that makes a lot of sense. But like you, the Bat Cycle ones were fantastic. I love them. Very, very fun. I wish there were more.
Yep.
And
I
it
mean, I think
had
I've said
this,
it, as I was going to say, I think I've said it every time we've talked about a game that has like vehicles or anything like, I think I mentioned it when we talked about Chia. Open world games, races, I feel like should be in all of them. And there should be, typically, I always find there should be more because they're a great way to break up the typical gameplay. And they're mostly always fun.
absolutely. And I will say two interesting things about the time trials. First of all, the rewards for them are different colors for the Bat Cycle, which we didn't talk about, is really
Yeah.
cool. You can change the Bat Cycle and customize it a little bit. And then the second thing that's interesting about these is if there are crimes in the way of the route, you have to go stop them before you can do it. And while I thought that was tedious when, I'm doing it, I think it's really interesting in terms of like immersion and lore and whatnot.
Yeah, I got you.
Like it's attention to detail.
Yeah.
All right,
All
so that is the
right.
time trials.
So that's time trials. Let's move on to challenges. These are random tasks to accomplish while playing the game, like stopping certain crimes, using certain techniques, etc. They reward you with XP and gear slash crafting components. Also, before we comment on that, we'll talk about the watch and contacts. These are basically old friends of Batman that keep watch for crimes, and they helped Batman keep Gotham safe. And now that Batman is gone, they help the Knights keep Gotham safe. You talk to them, and they just give you challenges, typically more difficult, like taking on higher difficulty crimes, stuff like
Right,
that,
beatings.
specific crimes, and they have higher XP rewards in gear because of that. The challenges, I mean, I don't hate them. They're just kind of there.
I don't like the challenges because they're not shared. They're one of those aspects that's not shared, so you
That
have
is
to
true.
progress differently with each character.
Yep.
The watch and the contacts, though, in terms of gameplay, it's like they're just there. I agree with that. But the lore, I thought it was a really cool idea.
Yes, the lore aspect of it is very interesting because you have, Dr. Jada Tompkins, you have the Watch, which is straight up a bunch of random citizens. You have, Lucius Fox and Renee Montoya, and the Penguin actually is one of the contacts as well.
Yeah, but the idea is that they are, get talking to, they'll be like, oh, hey, Nightwing, hey, Batgirl, I have some
Yeah.
information. And you have a
Yeah.
little conversation with them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the emails. It's just like a really cool nod to like, this is a living Gotham.
Yeah, I mean, again, lore aspect part of it really cool. Actual getting and doing the challenges is fine at best. Now we're going to move on to collectibles. There are several collectibles in the game. Let's hop to it. There are secret caches. These are left around the city by Batman in case he needed to grab supplies. You complete a short platforming challenge to grab gear,
Very
XP, and
short.
an audio recording. Yeah, it's basically like, oh, there are 4 points, typically in a path. 4 or 5 points you have to get in a short amount of time. Once you get them all, it points out where the cache is, and you grab gear and XP. They're fine. Oh, and the Batman audio recording. I'll admit, I never listened to any of them. They're all very long. Then there's landmarks. These are plaques found on historic locations throughout Gotham City. Yeah, that's it. They're plaques. Again, more lore stuff. Murals. They're murals on walls. You have to scan them for. I think Tim is doing an art project or something.
Yep.
I don't know. Batarangs left around the city by Batman because he's irresponsible. And he's throwing batarangs at criminals. You think, man, I can't believe. You never think about that. Watch any sort of Batman cartoon or movie or playing the games. You think, man, I can't believe Batman goes around and he has to like pick up all those batarangs after he throws them at criminals. No, he just leaves them sitting around the city, and you have to get them, I guess. Like, come on, Batman. And the Historia Strigadei,
Victoria Stargate.
pages of a mysterious book that details the backstory of the Court of Owls. Now
That's
we're going
really
to talk
nice of them
about
to record their history of the secret
absolutely,
society like that.
absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Getting all the collectibles in this game, because you do have to get every single collectible in this game, is one of the worst experiences I've had getting collectibles in any game ever. I absolutely hated it. The Historia Strigadei is probably the worst collectible I've ever had to get in a game, because the way that one works is you find this like kind of symbol that indicates, oh, there's a page near here. Then you have to find a second, separate, different symbol that tells you, oh, this is where the collectible is. It is not really located close to the first symbol. The first symbol gives you no indication as to where it is, just that it's around. I absolutely hated those, the pages. That it I would
Did you not
honestly
use a
put that
guide?
as like worse. I used a guide, so didn't have to worry about that, but the concept in game
Yeah,
is
bad.
absolutely awful. I do not like when I have to use guides to get collectibles in a game. Games that have collectibles on the map, I love those because I don't have to use a guide. It's annoying. I think if you're going to have collectibles in a game, I would say if it like saves you more than 50% of the time it would take you to get the collectibles without a guide to use a guide, then the collectibles were implemented poorly. For example, I just did
Star Wars.
Star Wars Jedi Survivor, got all the you only have to get all of one collectible in the game, but you unlock a collectibles map, which I had to look up actual in terms of locations. Two collectibles in that game of the 100 I had to get. Cool. The Historia Strigadei, only one, the very first one, is actually marked on the map, and I had to use a guide to find that one because the concept is stupid. Yeah, like it's awful. If I think I consider a game successful with their implementation of collectibles if I can find 80% by myself. I think, okay, that's a good collectible. Because if I can find 80%, I can find the other 20%. I, as Jaden, just won't because I don't want to spend the time. But I know it's possible. This game, absolutely not. I have no idea how people found all those pages without a guide. If you're one of those people and you're listening to this, hats off to you. You're an amazing person. I just don't understand how you can do that.
Right. I will say the only collectible that I like was the murals because when
There's
you,
only 12. Oh.
oh, there's only 12, yeah, but when you learn about them, if you go into like the detective mode AR kind of like vision thing, you'll hold the button instead of scanning and you look around, it highlights them pretty largely and pretty far away in
Oh, it
gold.
does. Yeah,
Like you can see
absolutely.
them, the murals, and I'm like,
Yep.
that's a good collectible. I like
Yeah, that's
those.
also a reason I don't like the plaques, because they're also highlighted in gold, but they're a tiny goddamn square on a building.
Yeah,
Still very
you
annoying.
definitely have to follow a guide for those.
Also, we never talked about that. In replace of Detective Vision, there's the AR scanner. It allows you to, if you hold it on enemies, kind of scan them to figure out what types they are, if they
Or if they can
know,
be interrogated.
or if they can be interrogated. Pushing it reveals a location of collectibles in gold if you can see the tiny collectible. Overall, it's very useless. I rarely ever used it.
I used it looking for chests.
Yeah, you also can use it to find chests, but again, I just never used it. I feel like it was not great. Again, talking about not wanting to compare the game to Arkham, to me it was just a lesser version of Detective Vision. Anyway, we're gonna move on to Gotham Knights trophies, notable trophies, Noah. Most of the trophies in this game are very straightforward. Like, at least half of the trophies of the game are just doing, like, the main story and the villain side missions. Maybe not half, but a lot. A huge chunk of trophies in this game is this formula. Insert trophy name here. Defeat X amount of Y enemy. Defeat 30 of the mob god mothers. Noah, these trophies sucked. You have to. Because they have it basically for every mini boss in the game. There's the Freaker Bulldozers, the Godmothers, the every type of Talon, the League of both of the League of Assassins
The
enemies,
Drone Masters.
the Drone Masters, the Shockers. You have to defeat a certain amount, and the amount is too high, for how often the enemies spawn in. It is too high because it is grindy, it is inconvenient, and you have to keep just go out and hunting for them. And there is no way in game to track these, which makes it even more annoying because you just have to keep doing it till you get it. And that's annoying. And if you want to talk even more specifically about, say, the Court of Owls trophy, there is one trophy for defeating, like, 45 Talons, 25 of the, like, brawler ones, and 15 of the assassin Talons. Those are the three different types. You don't know which one you're missing. Like, you do not know which one that you still have to get. Which just makes it even more annoying because you could potentially be fighting an enemy type that you don't even need, but you don't know unless you're keeping track yourself. Yeah, those were very annoying trophies. Absolutely hated them. Also, a little tip that I learned playing through the story cooperatively, this is something that is not shared between players. If we were playing together and Noah defeated a godmother, that does not count as me defeating a godmother for the trophy. Which also made it take even longer for me because there are enemies that I thought, surely I've beaten this amount of this enemy. This can't be the one I need because I've fought so many. But oh, no, I haven't because Noah defeated a good portion of them. Didn't like those trophies. Noah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on to our questions. Favorite moments, Noah?
My favorite moments are playing the game with my friends.
Game is certainly a lot more fun co-op than by yourself. I 100% will agree with that. Okay,
You.
mine is the side stories. So it's each character when you play as them has what's called, it's like, oh, Dick's story, Barbara's story, Jason's story, where as you're progressing through the game, you just, you have to progress through the game to unlock the next part of these side stories. But they're just short cutscenes. That's all it is. As each character is kind of, coming to terms with something that is going on with them, like Robin's side story is kind of about him, like, realizing that, he shouldn't just try to copy all of Bruce's stuff, he should do his own. Yeah, these little side stories. I absolutely loved those side stories. My highlight of the game, especially in terms of the story, is the interactions between the four knights. I wish those happened more, because they were some of my favorite cutscenes, those side stories, and just seeing the four characters interact. Because when do Batgirl and Red Hood ever interact with each other or hang out? When do, Tim and Jason ever hang out? I got to see a lot of these character interactions between characters I've not normally seen interact, and I really, really enjoyed those.
Absolutely. Hey, Alfred was there too.
Yes, and Alfred.
Shout out to Alfred. Favorite boss battle?
Oh, mine was Harley Quinn. I really
It was
enjoyed her
very
boss battle
fun.
in the hospital. It was very fun. Again, I just love this interpretation of Harley Quinn. That was a very good boss battle. Really enjoyed it.
Dr. Q.
Noah, do you have a different one, or you just
Yeah,
agree with me?
Bruce Wayne.
It was fine. It was a fun one. I think it was fine. I think it was a good one.
It was okay as boss fights go. I mean, he was just very Batman-y. No, Mr. Freeze, the mech battle.
Oh, I did not like his battles. I did not
It
like his
was just
battles.
that was the only one I died in.
See, that one to me, it was annoying, and I had someone helping me. Like, you did those up on your own at some point, and I was just playing through that fight. Just thinking to myself, I don't know how the hell Noah did this by himself. This sucks with Noah. Like, this
Yeah.
sucks with a second person to help, get aggro and deal extra damage and stuff. Anyway, no, any miscellaneous thing you liked?
No, I can't really think of anything.
All right, my thing, progressive bad guys. I mentioned this in our Let's Play series that this was the first game, like, that I can think of where, aside from maybe specific bosses and stuff, just random bad guys on the street were women. The entire Arkham series. Except for, Poison Ivy, every dude you fight, every bad guy, every criminal is a dude, and that's it.
That is
And it's
true.
something that I just didn't think about. But then, like, when I was playing Gotham Knights, and one of the mini bosses is the Godmother, and you have just random enemies you're fighting that are just
Yep,
chicks.
grunts
And I
are
was
women
like,
also.
yeah. And I was like, oh wow, like I never thought about it before, but I can't remember a time when just some random enemy I encounter is just a chick. Wow, like that's crazy. Like I'm just
Yeah,
fighting.
that is really cool.
Yeah, like women can be criminals too. You're right, Dame. So yeah, that was just something little that I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. I haven't really thought about that before, but that's a cool thing they did. Oh, things we did not like about the game, Noah?
For me, I'm gonna say length. I wanted more,
Yeah,
more story
the story
missions. I
was
wanted more
surprisingly
villains.
short. Yeah, story was
Yeah.
surprisingly short. I understand that. Oh, I have two things. One, a very small. This kind of it popped in my head when we were talking about the Bat Cycle races, but as we kind of skimmed over, the game has day-night cycles, and you go to the Belfry in the day, and then at night you start a new patrol. Annoying. When you are trying to do missions, you can only do one a night, and you have to go back to the Belfry to get the next one to spawn. For the Bat Cycle races, you can only do one a night. You do that one, you complete it. Okay, you have to go back. Like, if that's all you're trying to do,
Yeah,
then
you're just
you did
going
the
back to
one.
the Belfry
You
and
have
leaving
to go
again,
back.
yeah.
Yeah, that's annoying that you have to do that for, like, for some things like crimes, for story missions. I get it, but for Bat Cycle races, why do I have to go back to the Belfry for that?
Right.
Yeah, there's also we didn't talk about. There's the Secret Identity Compromised mission where there's only like four, where you have to go and like plant false evidence just to prove that Bruce Wayne isn't Batman because the two disappearing at the same time might raise flags and. You have to break in, like hack this computer, basically plant the false evidence and leave. And you have to do it undetected. They're very short and very easy. But the first one I ever did, I didn't really realize what I was doing and I screwed up and failed it. And I couldn't even retry it. I had to go to the next night before I could even try it again.
Yep.
That's just annoying. I do not like that.
I'm upset by the other thing you put there.
Here's the thing. This to me is one of the reasons why I said getting the collectibles in this game was an awful experience. Traversal in this game is not that fun. The bat cycle is fun, but actually going roof to roof using your grappling hook and running and jumping, using their heroic traveling abilities, they're just not fun. They feel very, very slow. And like when getting collectibles, the next collectible is like maybe 500 meters away. That's not far enough for me to like go through the effort of jumping to the ground, summoning the bat cycle, and just driving the bat cycle. So I would use, like heroic ability, whatever, to get place to place. It's just not fun. I really just do not care for it.
I completely disagree. I loved it.
Like that's why I can't believe this wasn't a part of the document before because it is kind of a big thing. So we'll just briefly mention it now. Fast travel. You have to do missions and like hack these drones to unlock fast travel points with Lucius Fox. I did not like those missions as well. For whatever reason, I had a very hard time finding the drones to hack them. But
That's unfortunate.
Well, like when we played the game recording wise, I initially said I don't remember if I said it in a part or between parts, like when we were just talking about it, but I had the idea of no, in videos I'm not going to use fast travel because I think just traveling to a place using the traversal is just I think part of the experience. Let's not use fast travel in the videos. It's kind of boring. But then I immediately dropped that because I just did not enjoy the traversal in the game. I wish that was better. I'm sorry, Noah.
It's just a difference of opinion. What's your gripe? You want it to be faster? Like, do you
Yeah, I
have
think
any
speed is the big
evidence?
thing. Well, for example, going on buildings, in Arkham, you have the grapnel boost, which speeds you up and like launches you, and then you have the gliding, which gliding is very fast in the Arkham series. I never had any issues getting anywhere with
Yeah,
in the Arkham
so it's just
series, and
that
that's a game with no
it's not
fast
fast
travel.
enough.
Yeah, it's just not fast enough. It's not fast enough, feels kind of clunky.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, if all of them were faster. Even Nightwing's flying thing is slow. If they were just a little bit faster, it'd be better.
Yeah. Anyway, let's very quickly talk about the DLC. Heroic Assault, a four-player cooperative game mode. In this mode, players battle across 30 levels of enemies in an arena-like environment while completing various objectives. As Noah said, it's kind of basically just a bunch of wave encounters. We did this once. You, me, and a friend of yours. It was fine. It took a long time. Like, it took us 45 minutes to do one floor. I can't imagine doing that 29 more times. I think it's a bit excessive. I honestly have no other comment on it.
Yeah, no, these were basically just combo or excuse me, combat challenges to play with four friends that they added at the end of the game. Cool. I did do quite a few floors with my friends just because, we had a group of four and it was really fun to play together. Just have all four knights together and go in and fight. That's an experience in and of itself. It does get old fast
Oh,
because it's
also, this
pretty
actually
much the same thing.
brings me back to a few points I want to make. Replayability, to me, this was a beat and delete. I mean, Noah played through it like 80 times, but I don't really want to.
Yeah, well, if you had somebody else who was playing it and they were like, hey, I'm playing through Gotham Knights, do you want to play through it? That's pretty much what it was. I played through it myself and Kyle was also playing through it. So I was playing like a single player and then a kind of like semi co-op one because he has a weird schedule with work. And then my other friend downloaded it like a little bit later. And me and him were playing it together, and that, I would just jump into his game here and there, and it's just fun. It
Yeah, I
was
get
still
you.
fun to just jump in and play it, not necessarily like do literally everything again. And then with you, like even so, it was fun again.
I agree. Co-op certainly makes the game 100 times more fun.
Yeah,
I
so
also
the
I
final.
oh I did just want to say, well, we got two more things here. One, DLC, the Kelvin incident, additional levels of heroic assault focusing on the side villains of the main game. I have absolutely no idea about any of this. I cannot comment on it.
I'm pretty sure
I
these
just
are
saw that
just
it
more
exists.
floors that actually
Yep.
involve the villains and you fight the bosses, and sometimes you fight more than one at a time. I think it's just more of the same
I mean, it's
thing.
just more content. I give WB Games Montreal a lot of credit of they have continued to support and provide new content, free content, to this game since its release. I absolutely applaud that. It's just not something I'm interested in playing. And also, there's one last comment. I did just want to say this real quick, going all the way back to the story. A big complaint I have with the story is they did not implement all of the knights very well. It's almost like, when you're watching cutscenes and stuff, there's only ever one person in the cutscenes. Even when you're playing cooperatively, with the exception of, I think, two cutscenes, whenever you're out on patrol and stuff and like talking to villains and stuff, only one of you is ever on screen. And it's kind of, I feel like, lame. I feel like you could have had multiple people
It
in
is super
cutscenes.
lame. They should all
And
be there
yeah,
in the
and it really
cutscenes.
comes to a head at the end when Batman is sacrificing himself because he's talking to them. And it's like they're all supposed to be there. And like in the story, there are the last mission is one, and there's another mission earlier when you're like trapped in a maze. It's a cool mission. But like missions like that, where in the story, like canonically, all four of them were there. But in the cutscenes, it's just the one character, which is really like, why, like, if all four of them are there, put all four of them there. It kind of ruins that aspect of the game when it's like, hey, remember when all four of us did that thing? But when you're actually there, it's only the one person. That's just a small complaint about the
Yeah, it
story I
does
had.
create a weird thing.
Anyway, Noah,
Final thoughts?
little disjointed ending here, but final thoughts.
Ooh, whoop.
What are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts is this is the Bat Family game I always dreamed of. Ever since Batman Arkham City probably came out and you could play as somebody other than Batman, and then they had Robin show up, I was like, okay, so give us a game where we can play as anybody in the Bat Family and play with friends. And here it is. Yes, it does have its quirks, those of you who have your gripes with it, but overall I think this is a fantastic game, a fantastic DC based game. The story is a little lackluster, but there's more than enough content to merit this as a complete game to me.
I agree with you that it is a complete game. I think, I mean, I would say the game's fine. Like, it certainly is not, I think, a top contender anywhere, but it's not a bad game. Like, anyone who says that this is just straight up a bad game, I feel like is just not giving it a fair chance.
Yeah, they either didn't play it or just joined the hate train on it or something.
Because it is not a bad game. I think I wish the game was more fun single player because it is absolutely a million times more fun co-op. I certainly would not have enjoyed the game as much playing through it single player, which I did because I did have to, you do have to play through New Game Plus for a bit to get to max level 40 because you can only get to 40 in New Game Plus. And yeah, it's just a lot more fun with a second person. So I do wish they had maybe made it a little better in terms of by yourself. But yeah, overall, it's a fine game. Like I enjoyed it. I had fun with it, and I beat it, and I was like, okay, all right. I don't feel like I wasted my time or money
Would
playing
you
it.
want a sequel?
Yeah, I'd play a sequel. I
Yeah,
would play
I
a
was going to
sequel.
say I would want a sequel, and I would want, just things tweaked,
Yeah,
things to be improved
I
and
think
take our
there's a lot
comments.
of, I think yeah, it's just a lot of quality of life improvements. There's nothing inherently wrong with what they did. I just think it could be better, in terms of some of the different things I didn't like. Anyway, that is Gotham Knights.
Woo! Now, Jaden, we move on to the indie bit. The bit where we talk about indie games.
Yay!
Yep. Today, we're talking about Tales of Iron. Jaden, Tales of Iron was released as a free PlayStation Plus game not that long ago. I'm pretty sure it was this year. And I actually, I saw it. I thought it looked artistic, interesting, fun. And I downloaded it and I actually played it and recorded it. It is all up. Oh, I don't know if it's all up, but it's on the channel. Tales of Iron, there's a full playthrough. And what this game is a side-scrolling kind of beat 'em up, maybe, or just like a fighter, I'd say. I'll get to the gameplay, but the story is you follow Reggie, a rat in the Rat Kingdom. He is the one of the princes, and at the beginning of the game, the king, Raticus, the first of his name, dies. It tells a story about how in his time he defeated the Frog Kingdom and basically created a period of prosperity and peace for the rats. So when Raticus dies at the beginning of the game, there needs to be a new king. And your character, of course, becomes the new king. And the story of the game is basically, the Rat Kingdom is attacked by the frogs again. The king was killed by the frogs. And, you kind of rebuild your kingdom and go chase down those enemies. And along the way, a lot of stuff happens. In terms of gameplay, as I said, it is kind of like a 2D side-scrolling fighter slash beat 'em up where you have a heavy attack, a light attack, you have ranged weapons, and you have a dodge. You can also jump. Yeah, I mean, that's about it. I mean, I don't know what else there could be said about it. Jaden, did you like this game?
No, this game's okay.
Hmm.
I mean, the story is great. I absolutely love the story. I think probably, yeah, the story was good. I really like the story. I have nothing wrong with the story. I think combat wise, I think the game is fun. It touts itself as like an RPG Souls like style game.
Yes, there
And I
is
agree
a
with that. It
difficulty
has,
aspect.
yeah, it has Bond chairs, the chairs you rest on. That also act as your save points. No auto saving. I don't like that. I don't like that in Soulsborne games. I don't like that here. My only problem with the combat is the game is a 2D game, which incredibly limits your combat. Compared to like a Sekiro or a Dark Souls, where there's it's like an open world kind of, not open world, but open area 3D combat encounter. And I find that it makes it harder because of just how limiting it is. But if it
Absolutely.
wasn't for that fact, I don't think the game would be that difficult.
Exactly.
For example, like anytime you fight one person by themselves, the game is not that difficult. I mean, the bosses are still difficult, just the patterns and stuff, it gets you a couple times, but it's not that difficult. The only time the game is hard is whenever they have more than one enemy on the screen, because it's very hard to maneuver around those enemies when you're dealing with a flat plane and an enclosed like screen, basically. Like the first time you ever fight two enemies at once, I died probably like 8 times in that encounter, because also the dodge slash counter system is weird. The timing for parrying is absolutely insane.
It is
I do
weird.
not understand it. And the dodging is weird. And you have enemies that flash red, you cannot counter, you cannot parry, you have to dodge those attacks. Enemies that flash yellow, you can parry. And you have an enemy that only does parry attacks and an enemy that does only dodge attacks. And when they both would like try to hit you at the same time, like you can't get away. It is literally impossible to get away. You can't like dodge both attacks at the same time. You can't try to parry the guy, because then the dodge guy will hit you. It's just, it is difficult because it's just so limited, which I don't really want to give them credit for it being difficult when that's the reason why. It's not
Exactly, yeah.
like a Soulsborne, like a Sekiro, where, oh my God, this is just hard because I am screwing up. It's like, well, what do you want me to do in this scenario? Because I can't get
Exactly.
away fast enough and I
Exactly. I felt
can't
like
counter
some
this guy
moves,
because
like
this
you're
other
talking
guy's
about the
going to
red
hit me.
ones, some red moves, I felt like I tried everything and there's just literally no way to dodge them. You just have
Yeah,
to
I've
have enough
just.
health to tank it.
Yeah, it's weird. Luckily, they do give you a lot of healing. I think your like healing thing allows you to
Oh, yeah,
basically refill
absolutely.
your health bar like 5 times. But yeah, it's like it's fun. It's enjoyable. The story is good. It's the fact that they did later make DLC that has an easy difficulty and a hard difficulty. I think the story is good enough that if you are struggling on the combat on like normal, I think it is worth your time and you will get enjoyment. Switching it to easy, I've not played easy myself, so I don't know how, easier it is. But like the story is enough that I think I would say this is a good game. And the combat, again, when you're fighting one person, it's fun, it's a good time. But anytime the game like has you fight more than one person, it just gets frustrating.
I have nearly the exact same opinions. The story and the writing of this game, I loved. I thought the ideas were so cute. At one point, you find a civilization of moles who are like advanced and have technology, and it's the Bolshevik Republic. You fight in a gladiator arena, and you fight Mole Mysterio, a mole, what Hulk Mogan.
Yeah.
I just thought like the writing, it was very cute. I thought it was funny, the story. And the
Yeah.
narrator was phenomenal, who I
Very good
believe is
job.
the voice of Geralt
Oh,
of
really?
Rivia.
Wow.
Yes.
I do not know that guy's name. Also, one other comment of something I don't like. Other than the narrator, whenever characters talk, it just shows pictures, like a
Yeah.
speech bubble with pictures,
It's
and a
hard to understand.
very annoying recorder sound. Is all that comes out, like all that you hear. I hate that sound when they talk.
Yeah, it's like an irritating whistle.
Yeah, that's absolutely what it is. It's annoying. I do not like that. But
So,
overall, it's a good game. I'd say, yeah, play it if you want to.
yeah, short enough that the gripes don't really matter.
Correct.
What is the next game?
No, the next indie bit is a game called I Am Dead.
Okay.
Screenshot of the game is a picture of a lighthouse, or the screenshot, the what would you call it? The cover art. I'll be honest, I know basically nothing about this game. I told you about this because we
Yes, we talked
very
the other day.
rarely do we hang out outside of recordings because a lot of people don't know this, but we do hate each other in real life. But I was telling Noah the other day that I spent like an hour scrolling through the games we own and the PS Pass games. And every game I would find that, again, judging books on their cover, judging games on their cover art, I would be like, oh, that looks interesting. I would look it up and it'd be like 15 hours, 22 hours. 18 hours to beat, and I'm like, oh my God, no, give me a short one, please. And finally, I
Yeah,
found this
typically we
one.
like under 10 hours or so.
Yeah, for indie bits, yeah, because we only have 2 weeks to play them, and 2 weeks is not a long time. And that's one thing that during this podcast has taught me, 2 weeks is not a long time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, that'll be the next indie bit. I man, I really hope it's not bad because I know nothing about it
That would be
at
funny.
all. Really hope it does not end up being a bad game. Anyway, hey guys, don't forget, new episodes every other Monday. Rate and subscribe. Tell us if you like our show, or tell us if you don't, and tell us why. Tell your friends and enemies about the podcast. You can follow our Instagram, The Super Gamer Bros, for updates on everything we do, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Super Gamer Bros, one word, capital S, capital G, capital B, period, at the end. And see all of our gameplay videos we have. So, yeah. Once again, thanks for listening, and we will see you guys next game.
Bye.